standing for the reading of the word today. I want to read from the 2 Chronicles chapter 9. 2 Chronicles chapter 9. We're going to read verse 1 through 7. And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon, she came to prove Solomon with hard questions at Jerusalem. Thought I heard something fall. Didn't see it. Listen, she heard about how great things were going for Solomon. She's like, I really wonder if it's as good as I hear. So she went to prove him. She went to check it out. And she's like, I'm not going to give him little flyby questions. I'm going to check. I'm going to really give him some hard things to answer. So she came to prove Solomon with hard questions at Jerusalem with a very great company and camels that bear spices and gold in abundance and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in his heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. And there was nothing hid from Solomon which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen the wisdom of Solomon and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, this cupbearer also, and their apparel, and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, it was a true report which I heard in my own land of thine acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not their words until I came and my eyes had seen it. And behold, the one half of the greatness of thy wisdom was not told to me. For thou exceedest the fame that I heard. Happy are thy men, and happy are these thy servants which stand continually before thee and hear thy wisdom. See, this is not part of my message, but you look at that last verse there. Happy are thy men. Happy are these thy servants which stand continually before thee and hear thy wisdom. Or you could say it this way, like I asked you earlier, do you miss church when you miss church? You could say, happy are God's people. And happy are God's servants, which stand continually before thee and hear thy wisdom. I want to speak to you today, far surpassing all expectations. Lord, we love you. We thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy. God, we ask that Jesus touch every heart here today. God, every heart that is listening to your word. God, I pray that you speak to each and every one. Anoint your servant to speak. Lord God, we give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated today, far surpassing all expectations. You see, folks, the life of Solomon, it's an interesting life to study. Solomon was the second son born of Bathsheba to David. You probably remember the first son that Bathsheba had by David was struck by the Lord, and he died very soon after it was born because of the adulterous activities between David and Bathsheba. Bathsheba conceived another child, and the second one was Solomon. Solomon was the third king over Israel. His reign began when he was approximately 18 years old and lasted for a period of 40 years. Solomon was a good king. Solomon did many great things. He was an organizer. He was a progressive leader. His achievements were very great, and he was a builder with growth in mind. And in fact, he never hesitated to tackle the huge projects of building the temple in Jerusalem to house the Ark of God. He put together a crew of 153,600 people and worked them for 7 years in order to accomplish the building. This man was a man that had a vision. Solomon had a purpose, and he had a burden to be a trusted ruler. You see, his desire to be a good ruler was really recognized because of the dream at Gibeon. In 1 Kings 3, you will find that soon after Solomon was crowned king, he went to Gibeon to make sacrifices unto the Lord. And in fact, he offered 1,000 burnt offerings there upon the ancient altar of sacrifice. And the very next night, Solomon had a dream, and the Lord asked Solomon a very simple question. In 1 Kings 3, verse 5, in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night and said, "Ask what I shall give thee." That is an awesome question from God. Ask what I shall give thee. And in the answer that Solomon gives, you can begin to see his real burden. Because instead of asking for riches, instead of asking for long life, instead of asking for perfect health, this young Solomon asked for practical wisdom. Give me wisdom to be able to govern your people wisely. What a request. Not one of personal profit, but one that would enable him to do what he had been anointed to do. Folks, we need to have that desire. God, give me wisdom to do what you've asked me to do. Whether it's teaching Bible studies, whether it's being a Sunday school teacher, whether it's being an usher, whatever it is, God, give me wisdom to do the things you asked me to do. How many of us today would be able to give such an answer? You see, if we were alone and nobody else would know what we asked for, and if the God of all of heaven, amen, endless supplies, stepped up into our world through a dream and asked, "What is it that you would desire most of me?" Folks, I wish Christians today would get the same kind of burning desire to do what God has called us to do. Amen. A fire down inside of us to please God that absolutely would not let go of us. Such a flame of revival in our hearts that when God would speak to us and challenge us with the same question, "My son, my daughter, what do you desire most of me?" I wonder if we would be able to say, "Well, money is nice, God, but money is not what I'm most interested in. Friends are nice, God, but friends are not what I'm most interested in." I wonder how many of us Christians today desire God so deeply and so desperately that we would say, "Good health is great, but that's not what I'm most interested in. But God, the thing that I most desire is that you would give me wisdom to be able to carry out your will for my life." Come on. That's what Solomon did. And do you know, folks, God granted that request. His mind power was manipulated. His thoughts were so precisely managed. And God did surgery on part of Solomon's brain that routed his thoughts. And from that day forward, Solomon had wisdom like never before. And soon after God had granted his request, Solomon found himself in the prime position to use this wisdom that God gave him. Two mothers stood before him in a struggle over a single child. Both women claimed that the child was hers, and it was up to King Solomon to decide whose this child belonged to. And unfortunately, see, he couldn't simply send them down to the lab and get a DNA test. How was he ever to be able to know who was the real mother? Then that wisdom kicked in, and King Solomon said, "Bring me a sword." And they brought him a sword. And right there in the presence of these two women, King Solomon said, "I know how we can solve this problem. Servant, I want you to take this sword and I want you to cut this baby into two pieces. And each of these women can take a piece and nobody will have to do without. Now, obviously, folks, these women knew, just as you and I know, that if you cut a baby in half, the baby's going to die. So in this situation, nobody would be able to have the baby because the baby is going to be dead. But the king was going ahead with his plan. You see, the servant that picked up the sword and wrapped his hands around to handle the sword. And I'm sure these women didn't really know what to do. But as he lifted the sword over his head and was getting ready to lower the boom on the baby, one of them women shouted out, "Stop! Don't do it! Don't kill the baby! Give him to her. I just don't want you to kill him." And at that moment, the king, with his wisdom, simply looked over at the servant and said, "Give the baby to her. She's the one that really cares. She's the one that really loves the baby. Give the baby to her because she is the real mother." You see, it was a witness of the power of God's wisdom that was working in Solomon's life, folks. His fame spread abroad over this nation, and many surrounded nations heard of his great wisdom. And then everybody began to hear about how wise and how mighty this king really was. His fame spread to the leaders of the surrounding nations, and the queen of Sheba was one of those that had heard about this wise king. She had heard about all that he had done and all the wisdom that he had. And when you read the Bible in 2 Chronicles 9, verse 1, "And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon, she came to prove Solomon, and with hard questions at Jerusalem, with a very great company and camels that bear spices of gold in abundance and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him with all that was in her heart." You see, folks, she had heard of this king. She had been told about his wisdom. She had been informed of how he could work out problems. But she had never seen it for herself. And when she heard about this man, she had to get closer to him and see if all of the reports were true. Now, could it possibly be that there was one this powerful? Is it possible that there was one this helpful? She wanted to find out. She wanted to find out. She decided to put together a great company of people and take gifts so that as to get his attention. And she wasn't going to go and request to see the king and have nothing to give him. But she brought gifts for him. And it was some measly, it wasn't just measly bunch of things that she went down to the dollar store and picked up. No, she brought gifts that were worthy to be given to a king. She brought spices with an abundance of gold and precious stones. You see, folks, her plan was that if she was able to get an audience with this king, she was going to try him with hard questions and see just how mighty and wise the king was. Now, hear me what I just said. Her plan was if she was to get an audience with the king. She's doing all this with the assumption and the hopes and the desires to get to talk to the king, to get to have an audience with him. Well, she got exactly what she wanted. You see, folks, when you want to have an audience with the king, he'll make room for you. Come on. She got exactly what she wanted. The king took time to talk with her. And she began to ask him questions, hard questions, the Bible says. You ever thought about your questions? Are they really hard? She was determined to have hard ones. The king took time to talk with her and began to ask questions. So King Solomon, the Bible says, answered every question. Not only with a simple one-word answer, as I'm accused of doing often with my text, but God gave him the ability to see even deeper into the issue that she was asking about. He answered her questions even more than what she even desired. He probably answered questions in such a way that maybe even made her think even harder. You see, and God gave him the ability to see even deeper into the issue than what she was asking about, and began to give her answers in detail that she had no idea that he even knew. In other words, folks, he read her mail. He picked her apart. He blew her mind with the wisdom and the knowledge that he had in answering the questions of life that she brought before him. You know, the Bible tells us to ask of God of wisdom. Maybe we ought to ask more. God, you know, here Solomon blew her mind. She sat there, the Bible says, in amazement as he spoke the intricate details of her life. See, she had heard about this man. But this was more than she could even grasp. How could this king have this kind of knowledge? And if that wasn't enough, she then watched as they brought the meat to the table, as she probably wondered where mouths would come from to eat this massive meal. But then, as the servants and the ministers started pouring in such an orderly fashion, and she wondered where the meat was going to come from to feed all of these people. There were lines and lines pouring in, every one of them in perfect order. Everything was put together so perfectly. The king was no slouch, folks. He had made sure that everything was in line and in order, even down to the waiters and the robes and the beautiful apparel, and neatly organized. It matters how we look. Come on. We, folks, if you can see one of the things through this, and I'll get to it even further, but it matters how we carry ourselves if you want people to know you're king. Come on. It matters how we act. Come on, we need to say, God, I'm not the smartest, I'm not the sharpest pencil in the holder there, Lord. Give me a little wisdom. We need to understand who we represent. Come on. Even down to the waiters, and they were robed with beautiful apparel and neatly organized. Folks, this was a sight to behold. And as the Queen of Sheba watched as all of these people paid honor to their king, she was awestruck. Well, see, with their actions, they were honoring King Solomon. What kind of actions honors your king? With their dress, they were honoring him. Come on. Does how you dress honor your king? With the way they were acting, they were honoring him. Amen. See, folks, they paraded into the feast that the king had made available to them. And you could tell by watching them that they loved their king. Amen. Do your neighbors know that you love God? Do your co-workers know that you love God? Does your family members know that you love your King of Kings and Lord of Lords? They honored their king, and they loved to be in his presence. Do your neighbors see you stay home a lot? Come on. I want to go to, yeah, we're in the presence of God. But he says, it says in the Bible to not to forsake the assembling together. It is important for people to meet, or people who visit our church, to see our love and our devotion to our heavenly King. Come on. Come on, people need to understand, these people are different. Because they serve a great King. I've heard about that King before.
Come on.
The queen had heard. The king exposed the truth right before her eyes, folks. And then she had watched as his goodness was shining through every one of his followers. And after all of this, her mind was made up. She had never seen or heard anything like it. But now her mind was made up. Amen. In 2 Chronicles 9:5-6. And she said to the king, "It was a true report which I heard in mine own land, and in thine acts, and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believe not their words, until I came, and my eyes had seen it. And behold, the one half of the greatness of thy wisdom was not told to me, for thou exceedest the fame that I heard." Come on, folks. We need to have people in our lives saying, "Look, I've been watching you, and I've seen a difference in you. I remember when you used to do all the partying, and I remember when you used to do this. I remember when you had an attitude at work. I remember when you used to yell at me across the fence. I remember all these things, but something's got a hold of you lately, and I've seen a change in you lately. What is it?" Hey, man, and you start talking to them. Maybe you bring them in for dinner and teach them a Bible study, and they start feeling more of the presence of God. But when they walk into church with you and they feel the presence of God and the body of Christ, and they see that everybody's dressed nice and looking nice and have great attitudes, amen, they say, "The half was never told me. The half was never told me." See, after she had heard and after she had seen what she did, she said, "It is true. It is true. What I've been hearing is true. I heard about you, Solomon. I heard about your wonderful acts. I heard about your wonderful wisdom, but I didn't believe it all. I was somewhat skeptical. It sounded good. It sounded too good to be true, actually, Solomon. And I didn't believe it all until I came and my eyes seen it and I heard things with my own ears. Let me tell you, church, I don't care how many stories you've heard. It's not the same until it happens to you. Come on. It's not the same. You can hear about people being delivered all day long. But if you really want to find out what it's like, experience it for yourself. You can hear about people repenting and receiving forgiveness all day long. But if you really want to find out what it's like, experience it for yourself. You can hear about people receiving the Holy Ghost all day long. But if you really want to find out what it's like, experience it for yourself. You can hear about people's problems being worked out all day long. But if you really want to find out what it's like, experience it for yourself, because the stories are great. The books are great. Amen. But if you really want to find out what the king is like, you've got to experience him for yourself. Don't take somebody else's word for it. You've got to get to the king and see it for yourself. But wait a minute. She even goes further than that. In the last part of verse 6, in 2 Chronicles 9:6, "The one half of the greatness of thy wisdom was not told me, for thou exceedest the fame that I heard." You see, folks, the king had exceeded her expectations. How? With wisdom. How? With his wonderful acts. Now you've seen this before. And this is normally the way it happens. But somebody will see something. Somebody will experience something. Or somebody will hear something. And they will come and tell you about it. And by the time they got through telling you about it, your expectations are so high that when you walk in and see it for yourself, or you meet them for yourself, or you experience it for yourself, you wonder what all the uproar was about. Come on. Somebody tell you, "Oh, you got to go to this place. It's really great." You get there and you're like, "Really? Why were they so excited? This is all right. Nothing to write home about. Huh?" They had built you, your expectations so high that the reality of it was that not, it's not what you were looking for. Folks, there's still one thing that will exceed your expectations. Most things are let down. But this was not the case for the Queen of Sheba. Because when she experienced the atmosphere, when she experienced the wisdom that surrounded King Solomon, she was literally, the Bible says, amazed. She said, they told me about it, but I never thought it would be this great. 2 Chronicles 9:7, happy are thy men, and happy are these thy servants which stand continually before thee and hear thy wisdom. That's why David could say, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Look, I'll go in there as a servant. Just let me be in the presence of God. Folks, it doesn't matter what all we're doing for God. Amen. We ought to get involved in everything we can. Amen. Just to be in the presence of God. To be in that. She said that it must be such a wonderful place to be just to serve this king and to learn from his wisdom. I don't understand why sometimes it's so hard for Christians to want to accept what God wants in our life. They do things begrudgingly. I'll pay tithes grudgingly. I'll dress grudgingly. I'll dress to please God grudgingly. I'll do this to please God, but I don't care about it. I don't know why everybody's bugging me to do this. Everybody, come on. We ought to be thankful to be in the presence of God. We ought to be thankful to do whatever God asks us to do. God, whatever it takes to be in your presence. Whatever it takes to be in your presence. This verse that I'm going to read is the crux of this message. In Matthew 12:42. The queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation, and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, listen to this, a greater than Solomon is here. I'm talking to us today, folks. How much do we really love our King? How much does he mean to us? Do we do whatever it takes to get to the house of God? Folks, do we do whatever it takes to get to the prayer room? Do we do whatever it takes to read the Word of God? Do we do whatever it takes to live and please our God? Amen. I don't want to offend God by somebody seeing my bad attitude. I don't want to offend my neighbors by them hearing me yell at my family. Come on, folks. We got to live our day, every day, to be pleasing to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. Amen. To allow people to say, what is it about that person? What is so special about them? I got to get to know them because they're different. A greater than Solomon is here. The Bible says here, the queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because she came a long ways to visit the king. She brought gifts to give to the king. And yet sometimes we can't do things for God because we're tired. Or whatever excuse you want to put in there. There's sometimes we look for excuses not to do things for God. We look for excuses not to go to church. We look for things. You see, I don't want to get into a deep study of this scripture, but the last part of it is plain to understand. The Queen of Sheba came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. But now, the Bible says, a greater than Solomon is here. As fabulous as you heard Solomon was, and all the things that surrounded him, and people were happy to serve him. They dressed accordingly. They ate accordingly. They were happy. They do whatever they can just to be in the presence of his wisdom. He says, greater than that is here. And how is your attitude about being around the king? greater than Solomon is, and his name is Jesus Christ. Amen. Not only greater in wisdom, not only in his wonderful acts, but greater in the ways that we, that he could exceed our expectations. Amen. I've got some good news for somebody today, folks. The great King Solomon exceed expectations with his wisdom and his wonderful acts, that it blew the queen's mind. But the great King Jesus Christ can exceed your expectations in any area that you want to put into the test in. He is not limited. He can fix any part of your life. He can rearrange any of your circumstances, exceeding all expectations. What do you need God to move in? Do you need healing in your physical body? Do you need financial help? Amen. Hallelujah. Do you need help in your job? Come on. God can exceed in any expectation. Do you need help in your relationship? God can exceed all expectations. Do you need help with your children? Come on. You think God can't help you? He can exceed all those situations. Listen, folks, when you really get to know where the King is, he will exceed your expectations. He is greater than what great means. He is more wonderful than what wonderful means. You've experienced peace, but not peace like this. You've experienced comfort, but not comfort like this. You've experienced joy, but not joy like Jesus gives. Come on. I agree with what Paul said. Paul said he is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or even think. Come on. Folks, you can ask all day long, but God can do more than what King Solomon did. You can think about it all day long, but he can go further than that. I'm talking, folks, about a king that when you really get into his presence, he will exceed your expectations. When we look at the first Pentecost, one thing is clear. God exceeded the people's expectations. If there is a single word that captures the mood of every person present in that Pentecost, when the Spirit was poured out, it was the word surprise. The book of Acts tells us that when the onlookers on that day of Pentecost were devout Jews, and they were very religious men and women, and they knew how to worship. They could quote from the scriptures, and they could recite the commandments, and they recognized good preaching when they heard it. But when the Spirit was manifest that day, it said in Acts chapter 2 and verse 12, and they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, "What meaneth this?" He exceeded their expectations. Amen. Some were confused. Others were disturbed. And still others were angry, accusing the disciples of being drunk. And then when Peter stood up in the midst and said in Acts chapter 2, 15 through 18, "These are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day." That means it was in the morning. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy." Now maybe these Jews wanted to say, "Yeah, we know the prophecy that you're talking about, but we never expected it would be like this. You see, we knew he would pour out his Spirit, but we never expected it to be like this. We expected it was going to happen, but we never figured it would go down like this." They were surprised. They were caught off guard. They were amazed and bewildered. But they learned that day that the power of God, folks, hear me today, is not limited to human expectations. The power of God, folks, is not dependent upon our expectations. You say, "What are you talking about, Pastor?" You see, I wish we could learn this today. We cannot figure God out. Come on. God made us. He made the brains that are in our head, or the lack thereof. Come on, I had to do it. And he did not install the necessary equipment into those brains to completely figure God out. He's got different set of plays than we do. He's working with different regulations than we work with. You listen, folks. You cannot put God in a box. He's too big for a box. And sometimes we think we got him figured out. But then he changes and he'll do things in a different way. When you read the Gospels, you find that Jesus met up with two blind men. And he simply went up and touched them. And the Bible says they were healed. Another time Jesus met up with another blind man, and there's no doubt that they had heard that Jesus could heal blind people simply by touching them, and that's what they expected. But this time Jesus walked up, and the Bible says he spit in the man's eyes and then touched him, and he was healed. Where'd that come from? How'd that happen? Why'd he do that? Well, that was a little confusing. But now, folks, I'm sure they think, okay, he touches them, and sometimes he'll spit in their eyes. Okay, that's how he does things. We'll just expect that. And so, it could happen either of those two ways. It's a simple touch or spit in the face or a touch. But then later on, Jesus met up with another man who was blind in Jerusalem. And I'm sure as the followers thought, they knew exactly how he was going to do it. Some of the man's friends, the blind men, they said probably, they talked to him about it beforehand. They said, don't worry, man, he won't hurt you, or it won't hurt a bit. I saw it happen other times. He done it just like this. It's easy. So let me tell you what to expect. He'll either come up to you and he'll touch you, or he'll spit in your eyes and then he'll touch you. And it'll be over. It'd be just that, it's that easy. Nothing to it. Folks, can you imagine the look on their faces when Jesus walked up this time and he spit on the ground and he made a mud ball and stuck that mud ball on the blind man's eyes and then anointed the man and told him to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. Can you imagine the people's surprise? I can almost hear that man saying, what in the world just happened? That's pretty wild. My eyes are working fine. I'm glad they're fixed, but I never expected he would spit on the ground and make mud and put it in my eyes. Yes, I was expecting Jesus to heal me, but I never expected him to do it like he did. I never expected him to do it like that. Some of us think, folks, that we've got to completely understand what God is doing. But that's not always how it works with God. Some of us think that we've got to completely understand it before it can happen to us. Sometimes we may expect God to do it this way, but when he shows up, he comes in a completely different door, amen, than what we expect. Well, let me assure you, God's way is always the best way. Amen? Always. He's been blowing people's minds since the beginning of time, folks. And he will probably continue to do it. Amen? And let me tell you one thing. If you can simply get into the presence of the king. The queen says, I heard all about the great things that you were doing. But I didn't believe it. I heard of the ways that you could work out problems for people, but I didn't really believe it. I heard of how that you had wisdom above all, folks, but I didn't believe it until I came and I saw it for myself. Folks, the King of Kings would love you for you to take some time with you today. Amen. He would love for you to come into his presence. His love, I'm telling you, will exceed all of your expectations. His mercy will exceed your expectations. His ability to solve your problems will exceed your expectations. Come on, stay with me today. If you will open up to him today, He will transform your troubles. His wisdom will exceed your expectations. His peace will exceed your expectations. I ask you today, what is it you need God to blow your mind?